Welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty, an industry podcast for loyalty marketing professionals. I'm your host, Paula Thomas, and if you work in loyalty marketing, join me every week to learn the latest ideas from loyalty specialists around the world. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV. Today's insightful interview features Australia's leading online beauty retailer, Adore Beauty, and their loyalty program, Adore Society. Adore Beauty was started as a homegrown business way back in 2000 by self-confessed beauty junkie Kate Morris. She grew up in rural Australia and was frustrated that the hottest beauty products she saw in magazines were only available to people who lived in big Australian cities. Now, the website she created to ensure access to those products is a publicly listed company on the Australian Stock Exchange. And they stock over 260 cosmetic brands and over 11,000 beauty products. Our guest today is Miranda Bliss, the head of loyalty and retention at Adore Beauty, as well as an advisory board member for the Australian Loyalty Association. I hope you enjoy our conversation. I'm delighted to announce Capillary Technologies as the new title sponsor for Loyalty TV. Capillary's mission is to bring the loyalty market out of the 1980s and into the present, ditching the slow, chunky manual services of the past. Capillary's all about making loyalty management easy with scalable AI-powered tech that turns loyalty managers into superheroes. Say goodbye to outdated methods and check out the exciting new way to achieve loyalty excellence in 2024. Miranda Bliss, welcome back to Let's Talk Loyalty. And for the first time, welcome to Loyalty TV.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be back.
Indeed. Yes, you're one of a very select group of people who've been invited back on the show a third time. So I hope you're feeling suitably honoured.
Absolutely. Third time's a charm.
Wonderful. And congratulations on baby Joshua. I know you took some time out to become a mom, so hopefully you're managing to juggle everything as you get back into the working world.
Yes, it's true. I definitely is a juggle, but an incredible experience.
Oh, so happy for you. So congratulations. Yeah, lots to catch up on. And I can't believe it's been a full 2 years actually since we had you on the show. So no doubt there's plenty going on in terms of course, looking backwards, learning from the past and looking forwards, because I know you have lots of new things coming up, which we're super excited to share with our audience. So let's get straight into it, Miranda. As you know, we always start this show with one very simple opening question and really just trying to tap into your loyalty brain and really see what it is you're looking around and admiring other loyalty programs and professionals doing in 2024. So kick us off. Please tell us your current favorite loyalty program.
It was a hard choice because it's definitely changed for me and what I value out of a loyalty program as a young new mum. But the one at the moment I'd have to say is OnePass, which I guess is essentially a coalition program. So it covers everything from pharmacy to office supplies to homewares and everything in between, hardware. And you basically earn points and have free delivery, early access, but can also take advantage of their individual retailers' programs as well. So at the moment, to get that, I mean, it's really just incredible value, really good service, convenience. I don't have to go into stores anymore.
Okay.
And it just gets delivered within a matter of days.
Well, you are the true e-commerce guru, of course, Miranda. So I'm not surprised to hear that, but I've never heard of this program. So forgive me, OnePass, if you are listening. By the sounds of it, it's a very compelling, again, pure play e-commerce, if I'm not mistaken, Miranda, is it?
No, they are all omnichannel. So you actually are encouraged to go and click and collect your purchase. You actually get five times the points. But for me, which is great, and knowing that the order and the stock and everything I've ordered is there is great. But actually, for me, the big part is delivery to my door.
Amazing. Yeah. And it sounds like, as you said, it is operating as a coalition. Is there a lead brand? Is it operated by one particular program or retailer, or are they all sharing?
The parent company is Wesfarmers, and essentially it's run through them.
Okay. I've heard of Wesfarmers. Absolutely. Okay. So brilliant to hear. And sounds like one we should definitely get on the show. So big shout out to them. Always one to watch. Well, we love watching Australia anyway, Miranda, as you know, because you guys are doing so much cool stuff down there. And I know we have a big audience in Australia as well. So brilliant to hear about that one pass. So listen, let's get into, I suppose, for people who haven't met you before on our show. I know you do have an incredible background, both in retail as well as we talked about in terms of e-commerce. So full omni-channel. So because of the conversation we're about to have, in terms of where you're going, I'd love you just to talk us through, how did you get into this incredible role with Adore Beauty, and where were you before that?
Great question. So before this, I was working for Coles Liquor, which is essentially the second largest supermarket chain in Australia. Mm-hmm. I was looking after the loyalty program there and digital, so really from a social perspective. And during COVID, I was very early COVID, sort of really as it was all starting to happen, I was looking for new opportunities. I really wanted to get back to my passion around beauty. I'd worked in travel retail prior to liquor, and it's just an industry I really enjoy. Adore Beauty came up as an opportunity, and for me was one of those kind of once in a lifetime. So they basically grew pretty exponentially during COVID and needed to create a loyalty program to retain the huge number of new members or new customers they'd acquired. So I was lucky enough to join Adore in 2020 and actually create the loyalty program Adore Society from scratch. Mm. And now it's, you know, 3 or 4 years old and growing. It's like a baby, my first baby, really. So it's a really exciting. It was a very exciting opportunity and still incredible, and I'm very passionate about its growth and its continued success.
Indeed, absolutely. And actually, it's a perfect time in many ways, Miranda, because I remember from my own days working in loyalty programs, there's always the initial like total buzz and hype, especially in such a sexy sector, dare I say it, as beauty and e-commerce, of course, as well. So there's always the initial excitement around the launch. And I always think that that's actually when the hard work really starts. And it never actually, you know, from a workload perspective, it never dies down. And particularly, I think, when it comes to this kind of like level of almost getting mature in terms of your proposition and 3 or 4 years on, there must be like, I suppose, a lot of, again, reflection looking back and some big ideas for the future.
Absolutely. And I think also customer expectations are just growing exponentially. You know, during COVID, convenience was, they had so many choices. Particularly from an online retailer, and those that weren't necessarily big online retailers caught up very quickly. So, I mean, absolutely, there is work to be done every single day, new promotions, optimizations, and looking forward to the future as well. I mean, there's lots of exciting things coming down the pipeline for us. We're actually looking to move into stores. So moving from pure play online to bricks and mortar is a really exciting proposition for us and an unusual way to do it. So, super excited.
Indeed, yeah. It's funny because I do remember a bit of the origin story in terms of your founder, of course, being super passionate about beauty products and getting them to her door, of course, many, many years ago, about 20 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right on my timings, Miranda?
Almost 24, 25 years old.
Yeah. My goodness. The same time I kind of started with e-commerce as well. So I just dabbled in it. Clearly, I didn't launch a publicly listed company like you guys have become. So. There you go. So incredible to see what you've built. So a long time, obviously, you know, in terms of that origin story, getting the core kind of business model really robust. As you said, e-commerce through COVID really just, you know, multiplied everything for brands like yours. And I know Australia had a particularly long experience with COVID, much more than, for example, here in the UAE. So you probably had different challenges, I guess, at that time. But what's leading to this idea now about going into bricks and mortar? That's a huge decision.
I think it's always been something that we've discussed, and it's, you know, it is something that we like to really create that community feeling and touch and feel. Like so many of our products you do need to try on and test. And we've introduced a lot of incredible like machine learning and AI to try and combat that, and with things like product recommendations and foundation finders, those sort of applications. But there's nothing like the touch and feel. And I think COVID really reiterated that of, although people became much more comfortable shopping online, they also forgot how nice it can be in that store environment. So I think having, you know, we acquired a huge amount of customers, but a lot of them just wanted to go back in store.
So
this now gives them the opportunity to, you know, really re-engage with the brand and have that omni-channel experience.
And is it, have you announced and decided exactly which cities? Because obviously there's many opportunities across different parts of Australia. Is that something that you're ready to share, or are you still just at the planning stages?
So we have announced two locations in Melbourne. We don't have the actual opening date yet. So join the Door Society to be the first to know when.
Okay, good plug. I like that. Just snuck it in the side there.
But that will be the best way to find out. So it will be coming soon. We don't know exactly when at this stage.
Amazing. Yeah. So let's just recap the proposition, Miranda, because again, people mightn't have heard the previous episodes. We'll put, of course, links to those in the show notes so people can listen in full if they want to. But just for those who want like an overview, because I know you had, again, a short amount of time to build something compelling. And I do know that the model you built was different to other loyalty programs. So will you just talk us through how the basics work for the program as it stands?
Absolutely. So essentially it's a tiered-based program. We've got three different tiers, all spend-based. I think one of the unique features of it is that it actually looks back at your 12-month spend. So if you join and you've actually been shopping, all those purchases still count towards your qualification of spend, so they'll allocate you into the appropriate tier. And then there's basically higher rewards as you unlock each level. That might be a lower spend for free express delivery. There are experiential rewards. We have birthday and anniversary, both the actual reward and the expiry increase as you move up the levels. And there's quite a few other features that we're working on at the moment.
Amazing.
I can't say too much.
Okay. I know you have to be very careful, but I suppose the key thing then to point out is there's no currency as such. It's purely those bands with exclusive rewards as essentially you spend more with the business.
Yeah, absolutely. So I often get a lot of question around why I didn't go the points route. And I think for me, I've worked in a number of businesses that were points based, and 80 or plus percent of people never actually earned enough points to redeem anything. So the value really wasn't there. So I was really quite passionate about trying to stay away from that. But I definitely, you know, it still has its application, and I, you know, participated in a lot of points based programs, but I just didn't feel it was the right proposition for a door.
And again, I started in loyalty with a non-currency based program back in telecommunications 100 years ago in Ireland. So again, I was always looking for what other mechanics are available that I can create for my specific customer needs, but that doesn't carry that kind of points association or liability. And as you said, it does have value and opportunity, but at the same time, sometimes it is perceived as either jaded in some cases, or simply, I just can't earn enough points to get any return. So amazing. So you're obviously still comfortable.
Absolutely. we're trialing things like double spend. So it's essentially equivalent to a double points, but it just sort of moves you through the tiers quicker.
Okay. Okay, amazing. And I do think you do personalization better than a lot of us, Miranda. You were telling us when we were preparing for today, some of the things you do in terms of replenishment and recommendation. So I'd love you just to maybe give us a sense of how you feel you're doing on personalization. And as context, I mean, I'm sure some of the audience have heard me say it many times, but most brands we get on the show say we're not even scratching the surface of what we want to do in terms of personalizing. So the intentions are always there and there's always 100 challenges around it. So how are you getting on with your personalization strategy?
I tend to say we're pretty advanced in what we're doing. I mean, I think we're considering every touch point in the customer journey. We do a lot from an, particularly from an own channel perspective, things like, as you said, replenishment. I often get comments with people saying, my gosh, like, how did you know? It was exactly when I needed that product. And I often find the same thing. I'm like, wow, this really does work. It's accurate. So definitely replenishment, product recommendations. Even things like, you've abandoned, you've been browsing the site, you've abandoned it, we can let you know when things go on a price reduction. So we actually call it a price drop campaign. It's been probably one of our most successful campaigns lately. And it's really, there's no discount associated with it, although the product is on discount. It's not an additional promotion, but it's really a great customer experience.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's what exactly I was going to comment, Miranda, because, you know, I think we've all experienced the follow up on an abandoned cart, which always feels a little bit like maybe, you know, too much information because it's being led by, you know, the brand sometimes just wanting to close the deal at the original price, where clearly I've decided for some reason, either I got distracted, which of course can happen very easily, but, you know, the consumer has decided not to make that purchase. But if there is a value-led trigger, which is literally, you know, this is now at a lower price, that immediately, as you said, it's being of service to that member. And that really feels totally different as a customer experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also we now have the ability to look at propensity modelling. So if we know you're likely to engage or churn or shop, we can actually adjust our offering to you and our communication to you based on what we're seeing. So that's that's quite a unique position to be in. And we're finding, you know, we're seeing incredible results.
I'm sure. Is that the AI stuff that you briefly mentioned earlier?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So how's it going? I'm sure it was a bit terrifying to get started on that.
Look, with everything we do, we A/B test. So, you know, we don't want to, we really can't just assume that just because it's a new piece of technology or we think it's right, it's going to work. Okay. And we do that with all sorts of things. So even, you know, from subject lines in an email, how our products are displayed, all those sort of things, we're able to gain really incredible insights. And I think that helps as a pure play online retailer, we're in a really privileged position to really understand customers and their behaviour before we move to bricks and mortar.
Yeah. And I like that as a mindset, actually, Miranda, because again, lots of us, you know, again, intend to do our A/B testing or maybe do it in limited situations. But that sounds like an entire way of doing business from what you've said there.
Look, definitely from my team, it's a big part of what we do every day. And I think the insights we draw are really, like, quite often quite startling of, like, surely they're going to love this. And most of the time they do, but there's quite often things that you're like, that's not appealing to them. So that's not something we're going to implement. So we have a huge amount of resource and learning and insights based on our A/B testing.
Indeed, yeah. And actually just on resources, Miranda, for Adore Society specifically, do you have a big team? Would you be able to, I'd love to just get a sense of the scale of how many people you have to support that, because the downside for me, because we're a tiny business, as you know, is, you know, literally being able to do everything that we want to. And clearly you're essentially doubling your workload if you're going to do things in two different formats and then look at responses and then roll out. It's quite a lot of extra work. So how big is your team for Adore Society?
So, well, I mean, I've really only got one person dedicated to working on the program. I have a team of four, but they are spread across own channels, their CRM, their life cycle, and they all, I do have probably the best team in the world, I'd have to say. They're incredible. But they are, you know, it's not a big team for a program this size.
Yeah. Incredible.
And I think that's where AI is really going to help us. So reducing a lot of that kind of automated and monotonous tasks will really be able to automate going forward.
Okay. And are your membership numbers public, Miranda? I'm not sure if you're able to share those kind of numbers.
No, unfortunately they're not. So I'm not able to share at this point.
Okay. You can't blame me for asking though, huh?
No, absolutely.
No worries. So listen, that's big news. As you said, moving into bricks and mortar, timings and exact locations to be confirmed. But I'm sure all our listeners in Melbourne are getting super excited to hear they'll be able to go in. And what I liked actually what you said is this idea that you are looking to, I suppose, bring that community feeling into the whole business and the whole brand. And it's a very effective way of doing that.
Absolutely. Since I last spoke to you, we've actually run a couple of in-person masterclasses. So when I spoke to you last, we were doing a lot of virtual ones, and they're great, but that you don't get that same feeling than when you're in person, and you can't really recreate that community and that sense of belonging unless you're in person. So we'll have the opportunity to run events and treatments and, you know, even just sampling product properly will be super exciting for us.
Amazing. Yeah. Makeup is something I really struggle with, Miranda, to be honest. You know, I never know, you know, exactly how to do the amazing eyeliner and all these things I see on YouTube. I'm just like, it's just, you know, definitely something I feel like I need a masterclass. So that sounds like something that's definitely going to be in your future. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Adore really prides ourselves on a huge amount of content. So we producing that all the time in all channels from social to YouTube. So it will be really interesting how that then can come to life in store as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely something that we're working on.
And I know you have a podcast as a business. Again, I know it's not within your department, within loyalty as such, but tell us, how's that going? Because I know it was an incredibly effective part of the business strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a very honest and authentic podcast. So I think it really kind of lives and breathes who we are as a business.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still a very successful podcast. It's a big part of our business. So it's pretty exciting to see. We've done a couple of live events as well. So,
okay. Yeah. So lots going on, lots of looking forward as well, Miranda. So other than the actual store piece, from a pure loyalty perspective, what else are you thinking about?
So we're trialing different mechanics. We're looking at optimizations. Probably what I'd say is customer expectation has changed quite significantly, even since we launched. So there's a real expectation about instant gratification. So we're really working through how we can provide that. So it's the balance of providing the value, but also managing that with business challenges. So cost of doing business continues to grow. We know we're in an economic crisis. So it's finding a balance of all those areas to what we will down the track implement into our proposition.
Yeah. Yeah. That economic situation. I mean, honestly, it's not just Australia. It's certainly UK, even here in the UAE, you know, things like rent prices gone a bit mad. So it sounds like something as a business that is going to inevitably put pressure on what I guess is, I suppose, a non-essential purchase category in terms of the business that you're in.
Yeah, look, I think it affects everything we do from, you know, our business as usual sales to promotions. It changes how we think about everything. But, you know, we are a very customer driven business. So it is something we're always very mindful of. Again, I can't be too specific about what the changes are that we are planning, but it definitely has all those kind of elements in mind.
Okay. And you said to me as well offline that it really is about, I suppose, removing friction. So it feels like you're kind of optimizing everything you've built as you almost take a pause and look to the future and to see what the retail environment is going to bring.
Absolutely. And I think you have to have everything, you know, all your ducks in a row when you are doing things like opening a new channel like Bricks and Mortar. I mean, mm-hmm. we've been using SMS as a new channel, which has been really successful for us. Okay. But I think with everything we do, we have to make sure everything, that foundation is there. And exactly as you said, that sort of seamless experience. So that's almost like people don't even notice what's happening. They're just like, oh, that was great. But there was no friction.
Yeah. So. And I'm surprised to hear SMS, Miranda. I didn't know that that was still like an opportunity for a lot of brands. Like some other, you know, kind of conversations we've had, they're moving more to messaging platforms like WhatsApp. And again, every country has a particular one that either resonates with people or just performs better, either from a novelty perspective or just because it is something that they genuinely have a preference for. So are you also trying messaging platforms or is it purely SMS at this stage?
We've been looking at things like WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. What we're finding is it's really more a conversational channel, so it's really more a customer experience. You might have a question, it's the back and forth around finding the response. So we're not using it in a marketing sense.
Okay. And you're absolutely right to make that distinction, Miranda. So thank you for that. The marketing that comes in on WhatsApp, I mean, I'm starting to certainly get a lot more spam here in the UAE. And of course, thankfully have all of the block and report mechanics. So I'm certainly very quick to make sure that the spammers aren't getting past certainly a second message into my phone, because it does feel intrusive. So it sounds like the SMS then, as you said, then is much more perhaps around the customer service side, product queries. Am I right in hearing that?
So SMS we're actually using more from a loyalty and promotional perspective.
We
use it quite targeted. We're not spray and pray at all, but we are finding really high conversions and a really great return on investment. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So people like asking about, you know, maybe their status, for example, that kind of stuff?
More us saying you might have a reward waiting or there is a spend and save promotion launching.
Nice.
Okay.
Super fun. Great. So I always love hearing what you're up to because you do so much testing, as you said, and lots of new things, new ideas again, because customers never sit still. So certainly important that we never do. The other, I suppose, main thing then, I suppose, top of mind is with this idea of how you're thinking about the training requirements, I guess, for Adore Society specifically, given that you, again, opening up these amazing new retail stores and they're going to have a lot to learn and a lot to say, I guess, as the footfall, I'm sure, is going to be off the charts. So how are you thinking about teaching them about Adore Society as you move into this new channel?
It's a really interesting one because I guess for all these years since I joined Adore, we were really in control of the conversation. So it is something that we're really considering about how it comes to life in store. And as you say, a lot of that is going to be around the training, the scripting, where things like fall into place from a KPI perspective as well. Is it, you know, there's a lot to get through. So finding that sweet spot of the priorities as well is going to be really important. I think we'll have to do a lot of the job from a customer perspective and getting them into store and, you know, already set up and joining the loyalty program, but definitely working with the in-store teams, not only from a launch perspective, but ongoing. So, you know, whenever there's new features or promotions or rewards, it's going to be really critical that we're really working very closely with the store teams on those benefits and making sure they're properly communicated to the customer.
Absolutely. And KPIs, you're absolutely right. That's exactly where their attention, of course, is going to be diverted to. So it sounds like that's still at the, decision-making stage from a management's perspective in terms of, you know, what the focus needs to be when they do have the customers in front of them.
Absolutely. It's definitely not something we finalised at the moment. So a bit of a work in progress, but will be an interesting one.
It totally will. Well, the old Pareto principle that we know so well, Miranda, is alive and well, and certainly in our sector. And you're absolutely right. Get the high spenders and take care of them. And it's almost like the rest will take care of themselves at the risk of oversimplifying. So there you go. So listen, I think I've covered off everything I wanted to ask you today, Miranda. Is there anything else that's a hot topic you want to mention for our audience before we wrap up?
Look, I think we've definitely covered the main things. We've moved into things like subscriptions, which is a really interesting one.
Okay.
Particularly from a beauty space, there's a lot of people that use the same products over and over. It's really a great convenience play. It's an interesting one to look at. So it is a discount on that service. And also we're moving into what we're calling Adore Beauty Pro. So that's a discount for makeup artists, professional makeup artists.
Oh, nice.
It's outside of the loyalty program, but essentially it serves that purpose for makeup professionals.
Yeah, B2B is a whole different world and a very nice one, of course, which I'm sure will take its own, I suppose, proposition. So definitely something that's an expectation for people in the trade. But listen, I can't believe I didn't know about the subscription piece. So tell me a little bit more about that. When did you launch that?
Probably, I think I was just going on maternity leave, so almost a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Essentially, it is you get 10% off the best price on the day. So whenever your subscription comes up for renewal, you'll get the best price on the day. You get free delivery. And then depending on what purchase number it is, there are additional benefits like additional gifts and a higher discount on a particular order. So we're seeing some really interesting performance from it as well. Again, it's a convenience play, but it's also combating that cost of living crisis as well, because there is a good discount.
Yeah.
But definitely worth checking out.
Well, and it gives you, of course, as a business, the recurring revenue, which we're all super interested in. So, and what actually is amazing to me, Miranda, is you're the third Australian brand I've interviewed in probably the same amount of months, and the third one that's a subscription basis. So I know it's not exclusively subscription for you, but the one I was talking about this morning was exclusively subscription. So seems to be Australian consumers that they're up for it as long as the value proposition is clear.
I think when you see brands like Amazon Prime and OnePass is a subscription offer as well, so people are definitely a lot more comfortable with it. I think in the past there was a lot of hesitation.
Yeah.
But people definitely are finding that it is that kind of convenience of setting and forgetting.
Yeah, yeah. I love my Amazon Prime. I've often talked about it on the show as well, Miranda. So even now when it comes to things like grocery shopping, certainly some of the heavier things that I just don't want to lug home from the supermarket, I'll just order them on Amazon, all my kind of water and all that kind of stuff. So to me, the Prime subscription, like, it pays for itself immediately, no questions.
I'm exactly the same. Since having a child, things like nappies and wipes, not having to pop out and juggle all of that is... And the convenience of knowing it's going to be there the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what I like they've started to do as well, to your point about replenishment, is the idea they're starting to offer, certainly again in the UAE market. So Amazon Prime, of course, will pay that fee month in, month out. But then on the products, they're saying, do you want to order this as a one-off delivery or as a repeated monthly delivery, for example? So I don't know if you're seeing that specifically in Australia as well, but I think it's genius. And I do think it's something, again, people value for the convenience.
Absolutely. We do have that feature. I strangely haven't taken it up, but I think I should on those really, you know, the things like baby wipes, I know I'm going to need all the time.
I was going to say, at least get the nappies. You can never run out of those, huh?
No, absolutely not.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, listen, Miranda, as always, it's been a joy to speak with you. Always a huge amount going on for you. So I'm delighted you're back. Clearly, there's been loads going on and there's nothing like sitting still. You're obviously moving forward significantly in lots of new ways with this new channel. So I want to wish you the best of luck with that. Is there anything else you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
I just wanted to thank you for having me back. It was always great to see you and great to have a chat.
Likewise. So, Miranda Bliss, Head of Loyalty and Retention at Adore Beauty. Thank you so much from Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV.
Thank you.
This show is sponsored by Wise Marketeer Group, publisher of The Wise Marketeer, the premier digital customer loyalty marketing resource for industry-relevant news, insights, and research. Wise Marketeer Group also offers loyalty education and training globally through its Loyalty Academy, which has certified nearly 900 marketeers and executives in 49 countries as certified loyalty marketing professionals. For global coverage of customer engagement and loyalty, check out thewisemarketeer.com and become a Wiser Marketeer or subscriber. Learn more about global loyalty education for individuals or corporate training programs at loyaltyacademy.org. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty. If you'd like us to send you the latest shows each week, simply sign up for the Let's Talk Loyalty newsletter on letstalkloyalty.com, and we'll send our best episodes straight to your inbox. And don't forget that you can follow Let's Talk Loyalty on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And of course, we'd love for you to share your feedback and reviews. Thanks again for supporting the show.